Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
This is Barron's Live. Each weekday, we bring you live conversations from our newsrooms about what's moving the market right now. On this podcast, we take you inside those conversations, the stories, the ideas, and the stocks to watch so you can invest smarter. Now, let's dial in.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Barron's Live. This is Alyssa Corum. I'm multimedia content editor at Investors Business Daily, joined today by IBD's news editor, Ed Carson. And today, we are going to be talking through a lot of strategies for earnings season, taking a look at your investing action plan for the week ahead with all those mega cap tech companies reporting. So we're really excited to dig into that. But first, Ed, let's set the stage here. So when it comes to active investors, what are some of the foundational things that those traders should be looking at when they're trying to pick the best stocks to buy?
Yeah, Ali, thanks. One of the things that, you know, IBD follows a system that we call CAN-SLIM, and the M in CAN-SLIM is all about the market. And it may seem, you know, sort of basic, but, you know, honestly, the easiest way to make money is when the market is in an uptrend, you know, when the market is, you know, sort of as a tailwind to you, rather than trying to fight the market when it's in a when it's on a downtrend. So we first focus on making sure the market's in a positive trend. It has been in a positive trend the past couple of weeks. And then we look for stocks that have really good earnings and technicals. I mean, we're looking for it all. We want to look for the best stocks in the right conditions.
Yeah. And we also are looking at chart patterns. So how can the technicals really help guide investors when they're making those buying decisions?
Well, I mean, the thing is, charts show the psychology in there. It's like, you know, that this is like all the information in these charts is in there. And so you see these patterns, and historically, you can look at them and see that these are patterns that work. Like, oh, you have a cup with handle, and it, you know, and that it sort of forms and it comes down, it shakes out some wakeholders, and then it moves higher. These are the kind of things that it works over time, is that it normally, if it works, it will, you know, you'll see some quick gains quickly. I mean, like some strong gains quickly. It doesn't always work, but what you're looking at is just sort of these historical patterns that will give you an edge in the market so you can try to get outperformance versus the market.
Yeah. On that note, how can technical analysis be utilized to help manage risk?
I mean, you have to make sure that you need to cut losses quickly. And if you're buying at the right spot, then only is that, you know, minimize your chances of having those losses. But if something goes wrong, it really shows up. But if you just got to preserve your capital, making sure that you don't have those losses, because it's easy enough to come back from a 5% loss. But if you hold on to a stock down 30, 40%, you're going to be really in trouble. And on the same side, you want to try to, as a stock goes up really sharply, if it starts looking really too extended, to taking partial profits, just locking in some gains, especially in a market like this one has been in 2021, where things shift around, the market rolls over, back and forth, different sectors come into play. Those are just ways to sort of try to make sure that you can take advantage of these uptrends, but not outstay your welcome.
All right. And we'll pull up some charts here in a little bit and show you some of that technical analysis in action. But you also mentioned fundamentals. So let's dig in a little deeper, because it is earnings season. So looking for stocks that have those strong uptrends that you mentioned, that's just one piece of the puzzle. But let's also talk about the strong earnings and sales growth that we would ideally like to see and why that's so important.
I mean, ultimately, a stock price should be related to its earnings, or at least its earnings expectations. What, you know, like ultimately, it's going to pay off. And so you want to look for stocks with strong growth. I mean, these are the ones that are likely to see stronger stock performance. Now, sometimes they don't have earnings, but you can see this tremendous sales growth. And at least there's an expectation that profits will come and come strongly. And that's just, you know, you're just going to see strong growth. Now, there obviously those can have a downside, too, because there's expectations and people are really expecting it. So those are going to be riskier, which is why you want to try to buy them at the right time and so on with technicals. But, you know, the strongest earnings are, you know, usually have the strongest performance in stocks.
And talk to us a little bit about how you think institutional support, that's something that IBD talks about a lot, the volume that's going into the stock. So I guess that's going back to the technicals a little bit, but also the sector rotation that has just been so prevalent in 2021. So maybe it's not enough to see a strong chart and the strong fundamentals. You also want to be taking a look at some of those undercurrents as well to help maybe put the odds in your favor. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, one is like having good institutions, like some top quality mutual funds into a stock that you're looking at or that you hold. I mean, one, they've done a lot of due diligence. I mean, these people are very smart. And so they decided this is a really good company. That just alone is just a vote of confidence. And there's just also the fact, you know, you and I can buy a stock and it's not going to really move that stock. But some of these other companies, if they want to buy, you know, $20 million worth or $100 million worth, they have to buy and buy and buy and buy. So, you know, that can be a sign. If you're seeing institutional buying, heavy volume, there's other signs in there, or you know, and seeing the number of funds coming into a stock, that just is going to push the stock up. It's sort of like you want to follow the elephant. You don't want to get in the elephant's way. You know, the elephant's out there and take advantage of these big institutions and what they're buying.
Yeah, and especially in earnings season. I mean, that's really the time that we can see these big catalysts and those footprints of the elephants in the sand in big buying, but also big selling. We're going to take a look at a couple of historical examples of, you know, maybe some extreme cases that can happen during earnings season. But before we get to that, talk to us about some strategies. So specifically now for earnings season, again, it's going to be a big week next week. We have Apple, we have Amazon, we have Google, parent Alphabet, just to name a few coming up with their reports. So with that in mind, what should the approach be from an active trader standpoint of how to assess that portfolio heading into a big week like next week?
Well, obviously, you know, you should be paying attention to any of the stocks and do they have earnings in the next few days. But also, not just that, but if you related companies, and we saw today with Snap tumbling, well, that affected Facebook, that affected Twitter and a whole bunch of other companies. So you need to be aware of when sort of related companies are reporting as well. And then, you know, have to decide, especially when the companies that you hold are going to reporting, are you going to hold a stock or take it down? And if, you know, usually you will want to see at least a 5 to 10% cushion, a gain, going into it, because you can see, you know, often earnings are positive and sometimes the stocks have really good gains. Sometimes it isn't a big deal. And sometimes though, it's terrible. And so you want to protect yourself, maybe take partial profits or cash out entirely if you don't have much of a cushion heading into it. So that's a way to, you know, go about it. And just also just build up on your watch list, pay attention to stocks that are have earnings coming up. This may present buying opportunities. I mean, you know, get those companies in there. A lot of the companies you named, they're right around buy points, you know, draw alerts, get ready to go if they perform the way, you know, you're hoping they do.
All right. So let's break some of those things down a little bit more. So in terms of stocks that you own right now. So I shouldn't be going out there and making a bet, a new buy in one of these stocks that's coming up and reporting in the hopes of scoring one of those, you know, 5, 10, 15% moves to the upside, Ed.
Well, that's a sort of bet. You're making a bet, really. I mean, you really are just gambling. It's sort of like, oh, it's, you know, bet on black or bet on red and just hoping it works out. You know, there are ways of doing it. We, you know, there's an earnings option strategy where, you know, you can take a look and buy a stock ahead of time where you have a defined risk. You know how much you might lose. So if the stock tumbles, you know, you lose that money that you put in, but you know that, you know, sort of, but you can still, you know, benefit if it takes off. So you have a defined risk, still have a big chance for the upside. So if you do want to play it, that's one way to do it. But generally just taking a straight up new position is pretty risky.
And so speaking of the option market, you can also use the implied volatility, that expected move of a stock, to help you maybe refine what exact profit cushion might be ideal to hold a stock into earnings. Because, you know, one of these young, you know, recent IPO high flyers, that's going to have a lot more volatility than something like a Google or a Microsoft or an Apple, perhaps. So you can sort of refine what profit cushion based on that.
Yeah. And you can just also just look at a chart and just see how it's behaved in prior quarters. I mean, and don't just assume because it's gone up the last three times after earnings, it'll do it this time, but you can get a sense of how much it might move. And just looking at just sort of eyeballing it, options definitely give that view. Just taking a look at it is, you know, obviously you're right. Google is probably not going to move. Now we've seen some big names sometimes have catastrophic drops or big gains. So it can happen. But yes, you know, some slower moving stocks are probably going to have slower moving reactions to earnings as well.
And then, so for those stocks that you own, how should you be prepared to react? So you make the determination, all right, I'm gonna hold this stock into earnings, or maybe another strategy might be to take partial profits. Maybe you don't go in with a full position into earnings. Maybe you lock in half of that gain. So how should you be prepared to react when that report comes out? The expectations are often very high for these high profile tech stocks. So a beat or miss could really have an impact on the price action.
Well, in general, I think it's a good idea to wait at least a few minutes after the open. I mean, if a stock crashes 20-30%, I mean, you can wait a few minutes. It doesn't really matter. You probably want to be getting out in that situation, especially if you're a recent buyer. But in most things, if it's up 5%, down 5%, wait a few minutes, because the market will often have a big reaction right at the open and then change direction. So just try to keep your emotions in control. And that's always a good idea. Try to keep your emotions in control. Try to think about a lot of this at night or over the weekend. Make a lot of your planning. Try as much as possible to let your emotions out. The market is going to have a lot of emotion, but you should try to stay just rational as much as possible. Easier said than done. It's easy for me to say that, not as easy for me to do it.
So say a stock does move against me, I hold it into earnings. Why shouldn't I just hold and hope for the long run that it's going to recover? It's Apple or it's Google. Isn't this thing eventually going to come back?
I mean, look, a lot of them will. A lot of them will. I mean, so you can get away with it. But for one thing, sometimes they do not. I mean, just flat out, sometimes they're not, or they're down for a long, long time. Some of these stocks like Microsoft, I think it peaked in 1999. It took a decade for it to come back to those old highs. You know, now looking back, sure, would you have made it? Yeah, that would have been fine in that regard. But you're also missing
decades of dead money.
Dead money, you're right. So, you know, it may never come back. And it's, you know, maybe months or years of dead money when you could have been buying something else. So even if you end up winning from that, you may not really be winning. You could have gotten out and moved on to something else. And, you know, psychologically, it can be a relief just to get it out of the way. It's like, it's done. I took my loss. Now I can move on, rather than just have that weighing on you psychologically. It's almost worse than the loss itself.
All right. Well, now let's move into some historical examples of maybe some extreme scenarios of what can happen during earnings season. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen during this live webinar presentation. You can see my chart, but for those listening to the audio version of this, we will explain what we're seeing here. So right now I've pulled up a chart of Twilio, an enterprise software name that maybe many of you out there are familiar with, the ticker TWLO. And in the quarterly earnings report in May 2020, this stock had a huge positive reaction to that report, with shares gaining some 40%. So, Ed, walk us through the thinking here. Maybe this was just one on your watch list, or maybe it flew under the radar. Maybe it didn't have all of those, you know, fundamental and technical factors in place ahead of the report. But boy, afterwards, it looked like that was a great buying opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes like this stock had sort of been underperforming. It hadn't been doing that well. It had previously done well, but it had sort of been in a sort of a slump a little bit, just trying to come back, but it wasn't performing tremendously. But then that earnings, it just is a sort of, it was a game changer. I mean, it was a tremendous gain. And you mean, look, I did not take advantage of this. So I want to say, I'd love to say, look at me, I was so smart. And gap ups have their risk, because sometimes they do pull back, or they, like, but they also can often suggest a real big move, that there is a fundamental mispricing, that the market is waking up and realizing this stock has a lot of strength. And this one went up 40%. And so you might think, wow, there's no way that can go higher. Instead, it just kept on marching higher, you know, really big gain over the next few months. Yeah, it corrected then, but then, it went again before finally, struggling a little bit, really nice move. And that's what you can get with earnings gaps. And it's just a character change. And it's definitely, it would have been hard to be ahead of it, because you don't know. I mean, this was not one that was really crying out to be bought ahead of time. But you can buy it on the gap up and you can still get tremendous gains.
Mm-hmm. These earnings reports can definitely be a game changer. And let's also take a look at one that did not go so well, XLNX Xilinx. I'm going to go to 2019. So rewinding the clock a little bit more here with Xilinx. And this was tricky because it did have all of those great elements, the strong earnings and sales growth. And in, let's see here, late January of 2019, had one of these big moves on earnings with the stock gaining 18%, what we call breaking out of a consolidation, went on a big run over the next quarter. But that doesn't guarantee you safety from a negative reaction the next quarter. And so then that's what we saw, shares plunging 17% on that next quarterly report and fell further from there. So this is one of those situations where holding and hoping could lead to even more losses, Ed.
Yeah. And it had this gap up, as you said, in January of 2019. It was one of the first stocks to break out. This is after there was a short bear market and we're coming back. So this was a leader. This look, okay, this is a given. This is boom, we're going. And probably could have held it. Definitely could have held it into earnings because you had a big gain if you had bought it off the gap up. So perfectly understandable. But, you know, with that loss, you're wiping out almost all the gains and it just kept on going. You know, if you got out there, you would have had a chance. Okay, you still took a profit. You still got out with a gain, even if you bought at the top of that earlier gap up, you know, holding and hoping. Instead, it quickly, you know, rolled over again. Yeah, it bounced back, but it was weak and it just kept on falling. So, you know, that can happen. You know, even when everything looks good, all the momentum and the whole market did well, you know, the market still did well. This was just Xilinx. And it was really disappointing for a lot of folks on this one. And that's what can happen.
That it was. And as you said, understandable to hold a full position into that quarterly report with a sizable gain if you did buy it right. But it does go to show how sometimes locking in even a partial profit with that earnings risk that's on the table can also be a good idea as well.
Yeah, and it's just really hard. There's always that question, do I try to go, you know, do I go for a single or a double, or do I go for the home run? And it can depend on your conviction in the stock, and it depends on the size of your portfolio. If you're fully on margin, all in Xilinx, maybe you want to take some profits. If it's a tiny position, you know, then that's a different story heading into it. So you have to balance out a lot of factors on how you're, you know, when to take partial profits and when to let it ride.
And then, of course, an example from just today was Snap. So Snap plunging some 20% on its earnings report and the guidance with the negative comments about the digital advertising space, like you said, weighing on other stocks related to that theme. So that's something to keep an eye out as well. But let's shift our attention to our investing action plan for the week ahead. So Ed, what do you think that active investors should be focused on with all of these mega cap tech earnings due, potential to really move the market?
Yeah, I mean, this is just enormous. Just the stocks in Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, ServiceNow, AMD, there just goes GM, Ford. And a lot of these are around buy points. I mean, Facebook, no. Amazon, no. But yeah, they're going to move not just those stocks, but like iPhone chip makers and, you know, it goes on and on. It goes, you know, like there's a lot of stuff going on. Definitely be paying attention. You know, this can be volatility here. I mean, if this has been a choppy market. We're having a rough day today. It's one of those things that, you know, this could swing the market either way. Like if the guidance is really weak on a lot of these companies, if they're talking about supply chain issues or this or that, you could see the tenor of the market change. And so you have to be ready to deal with that. Obviously, specifically with these stocks, they could provide some buying opportunities if things go well, but you know, they could also individually or the sectors really be negative. So you just have to be alert and flexible. This is the busiest week. You really have to be paying attention this week more than anything. Pay attention and being ready to react.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the tricks, right? If we do see a lot of positive reactions over the last week or so, we've talked about how there's been a lot of interesting setups and moves that we've seen in leading stocks. So it might feel hard. One scenario, you have to do that scenario analysis, right? One scenario might be, you might be tempted to feel like a kid in a candy store, but what should investors really be focused on instead of just, oh, every stock that's up 5-10%, I need to add some of that to my portfolio. What should they be thinking?
Well, one, try to keep, you know, like, how much exposure do you really want? And this is a good market so far. We'll see how it goes going forward, but it's not like a rip-roaring market. You have to keep, you know, don't get too extreme out there. I would suggest, you know, just build your watch list and really try to hone in what are the, you know, maybe have 10 or 20 that you're really focusing on. Not saying that you're going to buy all those, but you're really trying to take a look at some of these and saying, I really am looking at these, and it's like, and maybe doing a little bit of research. Hey, do I want to buy this? And if it clears here, and think about your scenario, think about where you want to buy it, assuming that, you know, and what's your strategy going into it? You know, where would you sell out? Where would be your cut loss? You know, and do that ahead of time so you don't let the emotions, don't let yourself get caught up in it. I just think that that's a way to, you know, have that stop loss. I'm going to sell here at 100. I'm getting out, you know, just to make sure I don't let myself take a 5% loss and turn to 10, 15, 20%. Keep your cool. There'll be a lot of opportunities if things go well. If things do not go well, well, it's probably just best to have not gone in too early.
All right. Well, now let's take a look at a few of these real-time examples of stocks that we're keeping tabs on with the reports coming out next week. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen again so we can take a current look at a chart of GOOGL, Google Parent Alphabet. Having a bit of a rough day today. Looks like it's down about 4% or so on this snap news, but it still is setting up in a flat base here, Ed, with earnings coming up next week. And what a strong, steady move Google has had over the last year plus.
Yeah, it has been a really great performer. And you can also look at the growth. As you see, like, we have the fundamentals down here and the, you know, the sales growth and the earnings growth, both accelerating. I mean, so it's no wonder this is not a slow pokey stock. There's a reason why it's been outperforming, because it's just been tremendous growth. Some of that is easier comparisons. And so, yeah, that'll get tougher as we go on. It's not going to continue, but still tremendous growth. You know, for investors, you know, this is setting up. It looks nice, but if you bought it recently, well, you know, there's a good chance that you're down on it. So you have to be thinking, do I really want to go into earnings with a loss? Because if you bought it when it came up through the 50-day line, as it broke through that trend line, you know, that's going down. Now, again, maybe it has a good report. Wouldn't be surprising, but you may just want to think, do I want to step aside? And then if I, you know, if it does well, you could always come back into it. Yeah, you know, the price is maybe a little higher than where you sold it, but the risk is way off at that point. And then you avoid if something really negative, you know, if you sold ahead of earnings, you know, from a recent buy, rather than letting it come down further, because there's not much you can do about it. If it gaps down 6-7%, that's a real problem. So still looking really good. I think the prospects are really strong. Definitely reacting to snap today, though.
Mm-hmm. And so just to reiterate, this has a lot of the factors that you were saying are good to see in potential stocks to buy heading into earnings. One being that track record of strong growth, multiple quarters of acceleration, as you pointed out, the stock in a strong uptrend, holding in a flat base. So looking at chart patterns is something that is also a good idea to do, rather than trying to catch a stock that's trying to find a bottom.
Yeah, and this is definitely one, you know, that is definitely one to be paying close attention to, not just because of its size, but because this is one that really has been a market leader.
Okay, well, also, what about Apple? A lot of attention on AAPL, recently getting back above its 50-day line as well, earnings on the 28th. Walk us through your thoughts on this stock action and what we could potentially see with the earnings report.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be interested in guidance or like how their production was on the iPhone. I know that there's supply chain issues for them. So that could be react positively or negatively to that. You know, this is one hasn't been as strong as, say, Google or Microsoft lately, but it's been a solid performer, obviously an amazing market performer over the last 15, 20 years. So That being said, it's acting well, setting up an base. Yeah, you can see that tremendous action. Sometimes it pauses, though, for a couple of years, you know, so sometimes it does that. But, you know, it's been doing relatively well, trying to bounce back here, you know. In a different scenario, if we didn't have earnings coming up, people could be talking about, oh, I could buy it here. It's above the 50-day line, which is often a key level of support for big institutions. But I think that you just want to wait and see, you know, if there's a strong report, that could be an opportunity to buy. But you can see also that selling off, it could quickly go back towards those lows. So I think this is one you sort of wait and see, unless you do an option strategy. But wait and see how it reacts. And what their earnings and guidance are, see how that next day turns out, you know, and if it's a real opportunity.
Right. So on that note, a lot of these tech companies will report earnings after the close, and you can see that initial reaction of the report, and that reaction may not necessarily line up with what happens that next morning.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes overnight trading really tells the tale. But sometimes it does not. And so, you know, generally it's probably, you know, not a great idea to be jumping into it. Luckily, at least something like Apple is liquid. So you're going to get a decent price after hours or before they open, but you don't know where it's going to go, where people, you know, the big money may not be really playing and analysts haven't really, thought about it. And the conference call may not be until hours later, even the next day. So those are things you may not want to make that, you know, quick decision. Yeah, you may be thinking, I want to get in or out very quickly. But, you know, generally overnight action, it's fun to watch. It's relevant, but it isn't going to be necessarily what happens the next day.
And just as you were talking about maybe waiting a couple minutes to see how a stock acts, if it does gap down or move lower on you, we could see an upside reversal, but we could also see negative reversal. So you don't want to be jumping the gun, you know, too quickly and buying right out of the gate just because you see a strong positive reaction, because it may not close where it opens.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Stock will gap up and then fade off very quickly. Now, sometimes it does not. And we obviously looked at Twilio that just kept on moving. But, you know, just waiting a few minutes or waiting, half an hour, depending on what, you know, your strategy, how aggressive you want to be. And that can really, you know, keep you from making, you know, snap decisions that you regret. The worst thing in the world is buying a stock that's up 10%, but you're down 5-8% on it. So just try to keep that emotion cool for just a few minutes, and you'll probably, you know, over time, that's going to really pay off for you.
All right. And we do have a couple of audience questions that I want to ask you, Ed. So first, Stephen is saying, is there a diversity risk in owning too many tech stocks like Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, all in one portfolio?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's Mike Webster, who used to work with, he once talked about a diversity of leadership. You know, it's probably a good idea. And I think 2021 really is a great example of that. We've had so much sector rotation and where things will be up and down. It's a good idea to have a mix of leaders from a variety of sectors, just because that way, you know, you make it easier to hold that. If you own a bunch of chip stocks and then they all sell off 5% and all of a sudden your portfolio took a big hit. But if you mix some chips, some software, steel stocks or shipping, retail, I mean, there's just a variety of things. If you find quality stocks, leading stocks in those groups and sectors, that is, it can balance your risk a little bit while still generating really, really strong gains.
And so kind of on that note, a related question would be, how many stocks should active traders own in their portfolios? So you have to balance that diversification. If you want outperformance, how should investors be thinking about how many stocks to own? And David is asking about position sizing and risk management rules to scale in and out of positions.
Yeah, I generally try to keep about 8 or 10 positions. And we used to say smaller number, like maybe even more concentrated, so you get the best of the best. But In the modern era, in the 21st century, with regulation, fair disclosure, earnings is scarier. It used to be that you sort of knew the sort of the big money and the analysts sort of knew what was coming down the pike, but now you have those bigger moves up and down. And so you don't want to have 25% of your portfolio in a stock that drops 20%. So spreading it out a little bit more is probably safer. Scaling in and out is always interesting. I try to scale in, try to get as close to a buy point. And lately in 2021, that's been early entries that we've been doing. Take that position there. I haven't usually tried to concentrate too much beyond that. I know a lot of other people do, but then I try to take partial profits if it gets really extended or on the upside, or if it starts breaking through moving averages. So I can still lock in some profits, maybe hold a core position. And then if it really comes down, it gets close to wiping out the gain or wiping out a huge amount of, if it's a really big winner, wiping out the majority of it, then I say, okay, I'm going to get out and just do that, lock in my gain and walk away. So those are some ways, but cutting your losses is sort of a science, but cutting winners is an art. You'll always be happy with the stock that you cut profits on or took profits on that then fades away. And you'll always regret, why didn't I just stick in and double and triple down on this stock that paused for a minute and then ran up another, 500%. So,
yeah. And, investors can treat their holdings a little bit differently. Say that they've had Apple or Google or Microsoft or you name it in their portfolio, one of these true leaders over the long term in their portfolio, you can treat that differently than those newer buys that you've made.
Yeah. And some stocks you think, okay, I think they're going to get, a quick gain and then, okay, that's fine. I'm going to take that out. Others you think, I really like the story behind this. I really like the fundamentals. I think this really has an opportunity to be a tremendous company in stock for years to come. Now, you may be wrong, but it might just have that kind of conviction. I'm going to hold this a little bit longer than I would another stock that I don't have as much belief in or as much understanding in. So definitely a lot of factors to play in, as you scale in and scaling out.
All right. And another question from Noel is how to take inflation into consideration when you're selecting stocks. So between that and supply chain headlines that you mentioned that may come up next week, what should we be thinking about there?
I mean, I think with inflation, one of the things you want to think about is, does the company have pricing power? That's an issue. Can they raise prices if they have input prices that are rising? And to what extent are the companies facing higher input costs? Like one advantage, say, of software companies, right, they don't have the supply chain issues. I mean, they may have to raise pay for their staff, but they don't have to pay 500% more for, parts necessarily. I mean, it's a little bit easier to measure that. That doesn't mean they're going to do great. Doesn't mean that they can't have issues, but that's an issue there. And this is also one reason why we like growth stocks. If a stock is growing 40, 50, 200%, if inflation is 3%, 4%, 5%, doesn't make that much of a deal, as opposed to a company that's growing 7 or 8% a year, all of a sudden that inflation is a bigger factor, whether or not they can handle it. So growth stocks, stocks that maybe are a little bit more immunized from, input costs and supply chain issues, those are something to consider. But and also the underlying commodities. I mean, energy, steel, and other things, those are ways or plays. I mean, those can be volatile. Some are working, some are not. Those are the kind of things you can do with inflation. But luckily, we don't have inflation like we did in the 1970s, and hopefully we won't again.
All right. And another question for Harold. He's asking about screening criteria for smoother, tamer, slower moving stocks as opposed to volatile names. And we sort of contrasted that a little bit with, the Googles and the Microsofts of the world versus, an upstart or one of the latest hot popular IPO to hit the market.
I mean, I suppose you could run screens where you actually try to limit how much the earnings are, but that would have kept you out of stocks like maybe Google this year. That wouldn't have necessarily been it. I think a lot of it is you're running stocks and you look for, just quality stocks with strong fundamentals, with solid earnings growth, solid sales growth. And then, you run through these screens and just sort of take a look at them. And you can maybe do a market cap as well, because those are going to tend to be a little slower growing. Though obviously a company like Tesla, that is now an enormous market cap and it's doing quite well. I mean, it a year ago, I didn't have as big of a market cap, but even there is an issue. I just think I'd go through the screens and just look for the calmer ones. I mean, you know, you can sort of look pretty easily. The ones that are going vertical, maybe if that's not what you want to do, you can stay away from that and just be going through and say, I'm going to be looking at the Googles and the Microsofts, the ServiceNows, or do an ETF, a broad ETF, you know, the Qs or you know, a chip sector or some other kind of thing that's a sector ETF that sidesteps some of the wildness.
Okay. And Petros is asking who you think the S&P 500 leaders are this year.
Wow. Well, it's moved around quite a bit. You know, we've had energy and commodity names, but, you know, Microsoft and Google, I know I hate to go back to it. Those are some names that are doing really well. Definitely some, you know, software, you know, your, well, NVIDIA has been a winner for quite a while. So definitely it's a mix of some of those giant tech names, but also some of the more cyclicals in there, and even the banks, you know, like Goldman Sachs and some of those names. It's actually been, it's been diverse. It's, you know, they haven't all moved at the same time, but there's actually been quite a few winners from quite a few groups, which is why having that diversity of leadership is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And Jack is asking how to identify the best industries to invest in and how to identify those stocks with the big institutional sponsorship. So I guess this kind of circles back to what we were talking about at the beginning and what you've been mentioning throughout, you know, taking a look at that sector rotation. How do we identify this leadership?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't, you know, it's hard to know when a sector will take off. I mean, it's you just have to be paying attention to it. I think there's one reason to have a watch list that's pretty broad. You know, yeah, you may be focusing on some that are really close in, but just also just taking a look at just keeping an eye on stocks, sectors that have been doing well, but maybe taking a little bit of break. So that's just something there. You know, identifying the leadership just is that you just try to find, like, look for the top earnings, look for the ones that are performing the best, that are outperforming the market the most. Prior uptrends are a strength. And some stocks will shift back and forth. AMD has sometimes led an NVIDIA and then vice versa. And you see that with a lot of names where there'll be different transitions, but you just sort of do the best you can and try to find the best stocks in the best groups.
And so speaking of AMD, maybe that's a good note to end on, even though there are so many great questions. We wish we could get to them all. But Mike is asking some thoughts on AMD, which, as you mentioned, also has earnings next week. He's saying that if you're up 10% on this stock, is it wise to hold it through earnings?
I think you could hold it through earnings. I mean, if it's 10%, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, it could wipe out. If you're feeling nervous, you could always take a quarter off, a third off, or even a half off, locking in a gain. So then you're almost guaranteed to have a profit, even if there's a really bad loss. It's sort of your conviction of that name, in that name. This has obviously done well. It wouldn't be surprising to see a pullback because it's run up quite a bit in the last few weeks, but it has really good numbers, the accelerating growth, and has a good track record. So could hold it. Nobody's going to be, it's never wrong. You can't really be mad at yourself for taking a profit. But 10% would let you hold it if you wish.
All right. And just because I can't help myself, one more question to talk about. Steve is asking how to use charts to find winners in sectors versus individual stocks. So I guess going once again back to that theme of trying to find that sometimes what feels like ever-changing leadership in the market.
Well, look, I mean, we use MarketSmith, you know, which is our charting service at IBD. And one of the nice things is that you can just go in and look at all the companies in that industry, or even look around different sectors and just try to find it. I mean, that's what I try to do. It's like, oh, this looks really interesting, but is this the one I really want to buy? Yeah, you want to take a look at rivals and look at peers, maybe even, you know, other things in that sector. Am I really capturing the best stocks at the best time? And yeah, I think that's really important. Look around, look for the best stocks in the group, in the sector, and in the market, and you're probably going to be doing pretty well.
All right, Ed. Well, thank you so much for all of the great thoughts today. And if you want more IBD coverage, make sure you go to investors.com. So make sure you join Barron's Live on Monday, where you will find Senior Managing Editor Lauren Rublin speaking with Deputy Editor Ben Levinson and Doug Pita, Chief Strategist and U.S. Investment Strategy at BCA Research. They're going to discuss an outlook for financial markets, industry sectors, and individual stocks. So make sure you tune in on Monday. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. It was such a pleasure for both of us to be here, and we will see you later.